He was known for his patience and his perseverance. He worked nonstop, day and night, on the electric light bulb. Finally, late one night it happened. The light went on. It worked. He rushed upstairs to tell his sleeping wife, and her response, "Tom, would you please turn out the light and come to bed?" Question, what kind of lights did Noah have on the ark? Come on, floodlights. Or how about this one? How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Are you kidding? They don't change. They don't change burned out light bulbs after all. It was predestined to burn out. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me read today a passage that reveals the importance of light. Luke 11, beginning with verse 29. The word of the Lord. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. It will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth. People of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. But on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light, your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when the lamp gives you light with its rays." May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you know how important light is to us. By light we can see. By light we can understand. By light we know where to go. So give us your light right now. That is a light that illumines our insides and shines out to the world. In Jesus' name. Pray. Amen. I'm sure you've thought about this before, but imagine a world without light. I mean, we couldn't do the Zoom without light. There wouldn't be light in this building without light. Some have said that we are well lit up in America. But the truth is, there's light pretty much everywhere we go. Back in the biblical times, that wasn't so. The whole light was a little lamp that they put oil in. And so if you hid that light, there would be no light. And Jesus likened the darkness to the darkness that we have without him. And he said, not only are we to see by the light he gives us, but we actually are to become light to the world. Are you light to the people in your life? Are you light to the people in Ecuador, where some faithful members of this church have helped plant clean water? Are you light when you participate in good events like the Walk for Alzheimer's? Are you light that your neighbors can see by your actions and by your words? Because just imagine a world without light. People groping around. Light comes from the sun. What if we had no sun? Well, scientists tell us without the sun, we wouldn't be here. So light, in the natural form, is very important. But aren't we so blessed to have electricity? You see, the part of this parable that is so significant is after lighting a lamp, you don't put it where somebody can't use it. You use it for God's good. You use it by letting the light shine through your life. You see, here's the problem Jesus was facing. The crowds were increasing, and he started out by looking at them and saying, "Gosh, all you people want to do is have me heal you and get things from me. You don't really want to change. You don't want to become light yourself." Someone said that's like Jesus believing that the people that were crowding now around him were like fans. More than followers, they were fans. I was watching football yesterday, and I was amazed at the crowds that were there, and I was even more amazed that they didn't have masks on. And I wouldn't have dreamed of thinking that before COVID. But now with COVID, you think all those people gathered together, they were cheering and shouting for their teams. And I think there's no better way to spread the germs than to shout out loud, right? You see, Jesus saw them as fans more than followers. A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. Those people in those stands were cheering for the football players down in the stadium. They weren't playing football themselves. They were just fans. A fan's job is to cheer on the team. But a fan doesn't join in the game. "Put me in, coach. I'm 90 years old, but boy, I was good when I was young." No. A fan doesn't actually participate in the game. They just cheer it on. They never join it. A fan can wear a t-shirt. He can have thorough knowledge of the game. Have you ever sat next to somebody in the stands in a football game and they know it all? "Why didn't he run that play instead of pass it? He's throwing the ball away." They can have thorough knowledge of the game. They can even be involved with the individual players. They can know all the statistics of the players. But they're not going to join the game. They're not going to go down on the field, put on the pads, and go out and play ball. And Jesus is interested in the people seeing that he has come to make them players in the game of life. A fan is more about cheering than about changing. More about applauding than about aligning. A fan never has to go home and say, "Boy, I'm going to do 50 push-ups so I can be in shape for the next time that I..." Oh, wait, I don't play. Never mind. And what Jesus senses in this crowd that's overwhelming him is that they are hardened to the inner light of what he is sharing. He's sharing an opportunity for them to be players in the game. He's sharing with them something that would say, "I want you to be transformed so that when people look at you and the actions, they will see Jesus Christ. Have you known somebody in your life that you say, man, that man or that woman lived their life so well? I just admired them. And they said it was all because Jesus was a part of them. And you admire what they do and how they operate. But for this crowd, they wanted to shout out loud for those people. But they didn't want to become them. And so Jesus knows these people. It's not that they don't understand. He uses two analogies with them. The first is he talks about the Queen of Sheba. That's an Old Testament story during Solomon's era. It says that the Queen of the South came with riches beyond measure to offer to Solomon because she had heard of his wisdom. We know that the place of her work is Yemen today, an African country. And we know that she was of great education and great wealth. But she heard about a man who worshiped a God that she wanted to understand. Why is he so wise? What did his God give him? And she brought with her incredible riches, spices, and all kinds of things. And it says that she was touched by him. The crowd wouldn't have known that story. The second story is just as important. It was the story of Jonah. It's a whole book in the Bible. Jonah, a prophet, was asked by God to go north to Nineveh, to a very barbaric people who killed at random and were pretty doggone evil. And he said, no, I'm not going to preach to them because you know what you might do, God? You might actually have them come and believe. I don't like those people. So in fact, he went the opposite direction. You know the story. He got a shipwreck. Went into the water, was swallowed by a whale, lived in a whale. The whale spit him up where he was headed south to get away from Nineveh, and he was spit out on the beach in front of Nineveh. And God said, now go do your work. And he went into the city reluctantly and preached, and they accepted. You see, what Jesus is telling the people is you need to be the light. Not you need to remember the light or remember the people who were light. History is plentiful with people who've done great things. And I'd rather you at least admire them than admire the people who are doing bad things. But how about imitate? And that's what Jesus is saying in this story. When have you felt the need to talk about Jesus with someone else? When have you felt the need? I mean, I am self-condemned. I'm a pastor. And so I likely talk about Jesus. But you know what? With my neighbors, I don't push my faith. They know I'm a pastor, but I feel like, gosh, I'm going to be ramming it down their throats. And I think, how can light shine? How can I not be a fan of Jesus? How can I actually be Jesus to these people? Maybe baking some cookies. Maybe going over to help them with a project or something. It's easy to become a Christian who sits in an easy chair and doesn't let the light of Jesus shine. Jesus is condemning these people. He's saying being a fan is not enough. It's not enough to like Jesus. I like Jesus. I wear Jesus. What would you do on my bracelet. But do I enact it? Think this week about one thing you can do to really let light shine through you to someone in this world. A little act of love. A little act of light. Amen.